Welcome to Knowing God in the Word, brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry, publishers of Seed and Bread. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. This radio program is for the purpose of helping listeners fulfill the greatest need we have as believers, to know God. Today, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the why question with Why Fear Old Testament. And now, Bible teacher Nathan Johnson.
Thanks, Bob. We have been considering the why question. The question that if there is a God who is all good and all loving and who made the world, why is this world such a terrible place and often in such a mess? And one of the sad situations we face in this world is the reality of terror and fear. And at the time I am recording this, fear of a virus that, frankly, has not so far been nearly as bad as many had predicted, well, it's caused many people to willingly give up their jobs and their businesses and even their freedoms and hide out in their homes out of fear. So the question arises, why do we face fear in this world? And today we're going to examine this issue. And today we'll look at the Old Testament. And in our next message, we'll look at the New Testament. Where did fear come from? Well, remember in the beginning, God did not create us to have fear. But remember we talked about the Garden of Eden, where the Lord God in Genesis 2:16 commanded the man, that is Adam, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that the day you eat of it, you shall surely die." So God had created Adam to not have to know the difference between good and evil. And I've told you that doesn't mean the difference between moral good and moral wickedness. But that means the difference between having everything go good in your life and having evil in the sense of a calamity has happened to you. And the Hebrew word ra'ah means calamity more than it means sin. I mean, sin can bring calamity, so sometimes it's almost figuratively used that way. But really, the Hebrew idea is that like cancer is an evil or a car accident is an evil. And so Adam, as created, would have had no need to know the difference between good and evil. But it's because we do know the difference between good and evil, and we know that evil, destructive, calamitous things can happen in our lives, that we fear such calamities. It's because of the knowledge that God intended us not to have to know, but that Adam rebelled so that we would know. It's because of our knowledge of calamity that we experience fear. Now in Genesis 3:10, we read of fear for the first time. When Adam speaks to the Lord and he says, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." So the first thing Adam was afraid of was what? Apparently not eating the forbidden fruit. No, he was afraid when after he ate the forbidden fruit, he heard the Lord. And he realized he was a sinner having to face the holy God. Well, because of Adam's failure to fear the Lord's commands, Adam instead feared the Lord himself, the one who loved him and who had given so much to him. And all the fear we face has been an outcome of the fact that we rebelled against God and brought sin and death and calamity into our world. And yet the fear of God is important, not necessarily in the sense of being afraid, but in the sense of respecting him. In Genesis 26:24, it says of Isaac, "The Lord appeared to him the same night and said, 'I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake.'" So the Lord told Isaac not to be afraid because he was with him. And Isaac had no reason to fear other people when God was with him. That's a good lesson for us. And in Genesis 31:53, we read of his son Jacob speaking to his father-in-law. It says, "The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, and the God of their father judge between us. And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac." See, God was his father's true and rightful fear. It's good if we fear God, not necessarily being afraid of him, like Adam was after he sinned, but respecting him, reverencing him, looking at him with the awe and the respect he deserves. That's rightful fear of God. But sometimes when we first meet God, we are afraid. That was true of the great biblical character Moses in Exodus 3 and verse 6. When God said to him, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And it's true, sometimes when we first meet God, we are afraid. Just like Adam. After all, we're sinners and he's righteous. We are small and he is so great and so big compared to us. But when we are in a relationship with God and when he is our Savior, we have no reason to fear him. In Exodus 18, verse 21, Moses and his father-in-law sought men who would fear God. He said, Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God. And what did their fear of God result in? Men of truth, loving the truth, hating covetousness, hating wanting what rightfully belongs to others, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. So he said, make rulers people who fear God, who love truth and hate covetousness. And that's the thing that people who fear God will do. The wicked, on the other hand, have no fear of God. There's no fear of God before their eyes, as Psalm 36 and verse 1 says. Now, someday, when God brings in his kingdom to earth, all men are going to fear God. Psalm 64, verse 9 says, All men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider his doing. And while there are many today who do not respect and fear God, someday all will. They'll have no choice because he'll be taking control of the earth. And in fact, it is wise to fear God. Proverbs 9 and verse 10 says, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So if you want to even start out with wisdom, you need to fear the Lord. Isaiah 57 and verse 11 says something very important. When he says, And of whom have you been afraid or feared that you have lied and not remembered me, nor taken it to your heart? Is it not because I have held my peace from of old that you do not fear me? God knows that when he holds his peace and is silent, people tend to not fear him. And yet that's what he's been doing now for nearly 2,000 years. He's been silent. He's been working in secret. And many people don't fear him like they should. But we should fear God. What about fearing God versus fearing enemies? Well, the Lord told Israel not to fear their enemies as long as he was on their side, that their enemies had reason to fear instead. Exodus 23:27, he says, I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come and will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. So God can send fear among his people's enemies. And he told them not to fear their enemies as they went into the land of Canaan. Numbers 14 and verse 9, he says, Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. So he told them, Don't fear the Lord's enemies. His protection is with us. In Judges 7, verse 3, Gideon, as he's preparing his forces, he's told by the Lord, Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. So Gideon sent home all in the army who were afraid. He said, You shouldn't be afraid in God's army, but if you are afraid, go home. Now in the story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, we see that Israel and their king were afraid of Goliath. 1 Samuel 17:11, When Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. In verse 24, And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So these people were afraid of Goliath, but David wasn't. He remembered that God was with him, and he didn't need to be afraid. The prophet Elisha in 2 Kings 6 and verse 16, When the city where he was surrounded by their enemies, and his servant was afraid, he told him, Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And that's certainly true. When God is with us, we have more with us than our enemies do. In Ezra 3, When the people under Zerubbabel were planning to rebuild the temple, in verse 3 it says, though fear had come upon them because of the people of those countries, they set the altar on its bases, and they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both the morning and evening burnt offerings. So these people knew when they feared their enemies who to turn to. They turned to the Lord. David says in Psalm 3 and verse 5, I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. And David's point is a good one. With the Lord sustaining us, why be afraid even of 10,000 people against you? The Lord is with you. Now there are things, however, that we should rightfully fear. For example, in Numbers chapter 12, the Lord chides Moses, brother and sister Aaron and Miriam, when he says to them in Numbers 12:6, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings, and he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? He says to them, you should have been afraid to say anything against my servant Moses. Now I hear people today who are willing to speak against any great biblical character and to say things against that person, things that the Bible doesn't say. And I wonder, ought these people to be afraid? Ought they not to fear before speaking against God's dignitaries? And yet they don't. Another rightful time for fear is found in Deuteronomy 13, verse 10, where it's talking about the death penalty for the false prophet. It says, and you shall stone him with stones until he dies, because he sought to entice you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So all Israel shall hear and fear, and not again do such wickedness as this among you. And in the Old Testament, judicial punishment of wickedness, and specifically the death penalty, was to cause others to fear and not do the same. In our society, with our poor view of justice, we have done away with the death penalty. And so many times the wicked do not fear to do their wicked deeds. But according to God's law, the death penalty is to cause wicked men to fear and to not do those wicked things. Well, no wonder we have such an increase of wickedness when the wicked are not afraid. In Deuteronomy 28, the Lord set before the people of Israel the way of life, serving him and obeying him, and the way of destruction, not serving him. And talking about the things, the curses that would come upon them if they didn't serve him, Deuteronomy 28 and verse 60, he says, moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. And certainly diseases cause fear, even as they are causing it in our own country as I'm recording this. In verse 66, there's more fear of Deuteronomy 28. He says, your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night and have no assurance of life. In the morning you shall say, oh, that it were evening. And at evening you shall say, oh, that it were morning, because of the fear which terrifies your heart and because of the sight which your eyes see. So the Lord says, if you disobey me, you'll be afraid day and night. In Joshua 22, the 2.5 tribes speak of something they feared. They had built an altar on their side of the Jordan, and the other Israelites feared that they had done it to turn away from the Lord and were ready to attack them. But they sent emissaries to the 2.5 tribes, and they assured them that they had not done it to rebel against the Lord. But they said, Joshua 22:24, but in fact we have done it for fear, for a reason, saying, in time to come your descendants may speak to our descendants, saying, what have you to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord has made the Jordan a border between you and us, you children of Reuben and children of Gad. You have no part in the Lord. So your descendants would make our descendants cease fearing the Lord. So these people were afraid of their children ceasing to fear the Lord. Are we ever afraid that our children won't follow and serve God? I think of my cousin Andy as he started having children. And I saw that was something he feared, and still does, I think. What if my children decide not to serve the Lord? Well, that's something every godly parent should fear and should try to the best of their ability to teach their children about the Lord because of that fear. Now, Saul was afraid in 1 Samuel 18, and for good cause, when in verse 12 he says, "Now Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul." Verse 15 of the same chapter, "Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him." In verse 29, "Saul was still more afraid of David." And this is often true, that those who don't have the Lord with them are afraid of those who do. Maybe they should be. Although often, those who serve the Lord, really, they aren't dangerous. David was far less dangerous to Saul than some ambitious man who didn't fear the Lord would have been. But often those who don't fear the Lord, they don't realize that. A wicked man who had tried to gain money from David by claiming, although it was a lie, that he had killed Saul. David said to him, 2 Samuel 1:14, "How is it you are not afraid to put forth your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" And it's true, people ought to be afraid of doing anything against the Lord's anointed. And of course, the Lord's greatest anointed is the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet there are plenty who don't fear speaking against him, slandering him. I've seen people write insulting cartoons showing the Lord Jesus Christ. And they aren't afraid. And David says, how can you not be afraid of putting forth your hand against the Lord's anointed? The nations ought to fear in Psalm 9, verse 20. Psalm says, "Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men." And isn't this often the case? The reason people don't fear the Lord is they forget that they're just men. Psalm 18, verse 4, "The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid." I've certainly experienced this at times when I watch in our own nation. We're ungodly enough, but then I see some new flood of ungodliness come out and permeate the nation. And it's frightening. Floods of ungodliness are frightening. But often the wicked fear for no reason. Psalm 53:5, "There they are in great fear where no fear was. For God has scattered the bones of him who encamps against you. You have put them to shame because God has despised them." So often the wicked fear when they don't even have a good reason to. Psalm 55:4, "My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me." And here the psalmist was afraid of death. And certainly that's something that's taking place in our country, as I said, with this virus scares. People are afraid of death. Psalm 76, verse 8, "You caused judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still." Someday, God is going to show his righteous judgment regarding sin and righteousness. And when the earth finds out what God's opinion of these things is, they will rightfully be afraid. Psalm 83 and verse 15, "So pursue them with your tempest and frighten them with your storm." Certainly storms can be a cause of great fear. Proverbs 14 verse 16, "A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident." And it's true, if we're wise, we'll be afraid of evil. We ought to be. Isaiah 2, verse 19, "They shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth mightily." So the wicked will be afraid and flee from the presence of the Lord. Isaiah 66, verse 4, speaks of the wicked too. "So I will choose their delusions and bring their fears on them, because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight." And indeed, the wicked have reason to fear the Lord. Ezekiel 21 and verse 12, "Cry and wail, son of man, for it will be against my people, against all the princes of Israel. Terrors, including the sword, will be against my people. Therefore, strike your thigh." And indeed, the sword or violence brings terror, brings flight. We're afraid of violence. Daniel 8, verse 17, the great prophet Daniel was afraid. He says, "So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell on my face. But he said to me, 'Understand, son of man, that the vision refers to the time of the end.'" Daniel, it seems, is afraid of this vision of the distant future. And indeed, sometimes the near future is scary enough, but the distant future is so far away it seems frightening. Then finally, in Daniel 10 and verse 7, when Daniel, I Daniel alone, saw the vision, the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. And this vision of the Lord caused those with Daniel terror. Well, the presence of the Lord is indeed something to fear. But there are things not to fear, Deuteronomy 18:22. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. So let all God's people be warned. Don't be afraid of a prophet whose prophecies don't happen. I remember one man who claimed to be a prophet, and he said 70% of the time what he said was right. Well, don't be afraid of a quote-unquote prophet like that. Gideon was afraid, and he ought not to have been, to serve the Lord in Judges 6:27. So he took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him, but because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. Well, he did serve the Lord, but he was afraid to do it in the daylight, so he did it under cover of darkness. In 1 Samuel 12:20, Samuel said to the people, "Do not fear, you have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart." So don't let wickedness you've done make you afraid to serve the Lord. No, turn to him and serve him. He'll forgive your sin. But don't give up on serving him when you sin. Turn back to him and you'll find forgiveness. In Proverbs 29, verse 25, he says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." So he says, the fear of men is a trap. Don't fear men. And compared to God, why be afraid of men who will die, as Isaiah 51:12 says. Finally, in Jeremiah 10 and verse 5, Jeremiah 10 verse 5 speaks of idols. "They are upright like a palm tree, and they cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot go by themselves. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, nor can they do any good." So he says, don't be afraid of false gods. They can't do anything. Don't be afraid of them. And ultimately, with God with us, we have no reason to be afraid. As David says in Psalm 23 and verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And with God with us, we don't need to fear even death. In Psalm 27 and verse 1, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident." And yes, we can be confident in God no matter what. In Psalm 56, verse 3, he says, "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you." Remember that, trust in God whenever you're afraid. Isaiah 41, verse 10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And when God is with us, we have no reason to be afraid. And ultimately, when God's kingdom comes, there will be no reason to fear. Ezekiel 34:28, "And they shall no longer be a prey for the nations, nor shall beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and no one shall make them afraid." So our ultimate fate will be to have no more fear, because God will be with us. So in the beginning, God made us not to know fear, for we were to have no experience of calamity. When Adam sinned, however, he learned fear. He was afraid of God, the one who sought to spare him from fear. We truly ought to fear God in respecting and reverencing him and seeking his ways. We need not fear our enemies with God with us. There are things that do make us afraid, and some of them ought to. But there are also things we need not fear and should not fear. And ultimately, with God on our side, there is no need for ultimate fear, that is, of death and destruction, since we have the ultimate hope of his salvation. Well, let's trust God and depend on him to overcome all fear.
There seems to be so many things to fear in this present evil world. This was very much true during the events of the Old Testament, yet God constantly held out himself to his people. He is the strength in our lives to be able to overcome fear. Thank you, Nathan, for your lesson on Why Fear, Old Testament. On our next program, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the why question with Why Fear, New Testament. Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that this program motivates you to study God's Word. This will cause you to know and love God. For more information on the program, to hear past programs, and for other downloadable material that Nathan has produced, please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org. We also offer a weekly email newsletter in which Nathan does the same thing he does on this radio program, going verse by verse through the Bible and then discussing what it means. Email Nathan at nathan@knowinggodintheword.org and ask to be placed on his mailing list. For more Bible study literature by Nathan and other Bible teachers, including Seed and Bread Bible studies, please visit the Word of Truth Ministry at seedandbread.org or write to the Word of Truth Ministry, P.O. Box 1609, Canyon Country, California, 91386. I've been your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. So long for now. But we look forward to you joining us next week on Knowing God in the Word.